Vidix, assemble!
I'm Vidix Jackola.
And I am Vidix Collinson, and you're listening to The Vidix Assembly. We're back.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It feels really good. It feels like it's been far too long. And
life has.
Life happens, you know? Life happens. And
Boy, does it.
At least we are finally getting going again. I'm so happy.
Me too. No, it's great. It's great to be back. How have you been, Brandy?
There have been ups and downs, just like normal life. And I have not had COVID-19, so there's that. I am fully vaccinated, so there's that. Ooh. Unfortunately, I live in a state that is still one of the lowest vaccination-rated states. Because people are stupid and think God will protect them or whatever.
Mm.
These are the kind of people who had mask burning parties and call wearing a mask medical tyranny.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you have no idea what tyranny is, my child. And I pray you never find out. It's just, But, you know, I just try to keep my head down and be my introvert self and spend my Sundays playing video games to decompress. And it really works. It really works.
It sounds good. Yep.
And how have you been, Dr. Nick?
Oh, I have been pretty good. I've been working in biosecurity, which has been pretty, well, not so much biosecurity, biocontrol, really. But there's a heavy sort of... quarantine biosecurity aspect of it when you're working with invasive pests and insects and things that we don't want released into the wider community. So yeah, I gotta kind of get into the sealed lab and suit up in a big, you know, white coveralls and everything. So I get to feel very important doing that, even though it's been mostly sifting through wet sulfurous soil searching for beetle grubs that we've been breeding. But you know, it's science is not always glamorous.
You know, that's the thing though, you're doing the good work, you're doing the hard work, the work that people don't appreciate, that don't realize you have to do to get to all of those big discoveries. So it always starts with, you know, sifting through sulfuric soil for grub beetle grubs. You know, you don't ever start at the top.
No, but it's been good. So I'm still, I'm still waiting on being told that I'm eligible to get vaccinated. Because we managed to kind of control the virus a bit better. There was not as much need for everyone to get vaccinated as quickly, so they sort of rolled it out with, like, elderly and sort of older groups. So
They did that here, too.
Yeah.
Even though we desperately needed to be vaccinated.
Yeah. Here, at least, it's not quite as much pressure, but I do need to go out and do it as soon as they bring it down to anyone over 30.
Yeah, I'm much older than you, so... Didn't have to wait as long, but it did seem like quite a while. I think it was probably 2 or 3 months, maybe more, before once they started having the vaccinations available before I could get mine. And you know, I have a real problem with needles, but this is the one time that needles didn't bother me for some reason.
Oh yeah,
because the injection was really fast, like faster than my flu shot.
And, wow, that's cool.
You know, it just, I mean, everybody's like, well, I didn't even feel it. Yeah, well, I'm glad for you that you have insensitive skin, but I do not. So yes, I still felt the sting of the needle, but
yeah,
it was just, it was so quick. And the first The first one, I had a hard time with the injection site. It hurt for a while, like about, when I say a while, it was maybe a day and a half, which is really not bad. I couldn't sleep on that side, which I'm a side sleeper only. So not being able to sleep on one side is difficult to say the least. But after that, it was just like no big deal. But the second shot laid me out for 3.5 days. So,
Oh,
or was it
right.
4.5 days? No, three. It was about the fourth day, late in the fourth day before I started feeling better. So,
Yeah.
and that's okay though, because that's how I know it's working.
Yeah. No, my mum was like really laid out after she had her first shot. So yeah, I think she said it was like at least 2 or 3 days. So yeah, it can really, really hit you hard.
Yeah, the weirdest part was the disorientation. It's
Oh,
just like
okay.
just weird stuff. Like I knew in my higher brain, it's like, why are you doing this? And in my lower brain, it's just like, who cares? Like I just suddenly decided I was trying to find something in my purse, and I'm like, oh yeah, I have all of this loose change I wanted to put in my piggy bank, and so I'm getting the piggy bank out because he's buried behind like a lot of Funko Pop figures, and then I pull one out. He has a name. His name is Bernard. And then
That's fair.
I'm putting the change in, and I'm putting it in, trying to put in too much at once, so it's getting stuck. And so then I'm putting it in slower and having a really hard time just getting it in that slot. And then after I was done, I was exhausted. I just sat back and I'm like, well, Bernard, the coffee table is your new home because I don't have the energy to put you back. And it sat
That's me done
there.
for the day. That's all I
Yep.
can manage.
That was my chore. I don't even think I'm going to bother getting up to get a drink. I'm just going to lay down on the sofa right now. Yeah. That's pretty much what it was like. Besides the aches and pains and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's just the I live here now.
Yes, this is where I live. Just like,
Oh.
I can't, I don't, I am not
Yeah.
capable of doing any more than this. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? Yeah. You're like, you just dug a piggy bank out from behind some Funko Pops and put some change in it. What's the big deal? It was a huge deal, okay? Well, I hope you get vaccinated soon. I hope you have the opportunity soon, because
Me too,
it's
yeah.
comforting, especially with the Delta variant now a thing here.
Yeah, we've had a few
So,
cases of that here, especially up in Sydney, I think. Yeah.
yeah, it's ugly, and I think
Scary.
this. It's also a lesson of what happens if people don't do what's necessary to stamp out the virus in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, considering that we had it basically beaten here, and then, they were just putting people in quarantine in regular old hotels with like the same air circulating through, so one person has it, they all get it, and then it spreads out again. So yeah.
Yeah, we're
Oh well.
actually gonna try going to the movies next Saturday because the theater that is nearest to us actually they've been very upfront. It's like, here's what we're doing. Each theater has its own air system, so you don't have to worry about that. You know, we're
Oh, that's
cleaning
cool.
everything in between. We're cleaning the bathrooms frequently, you know, all
Wow.
these things. And so, but of course it's Utah. So they've said, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But since there's no mask mandate anymore anyway, nobody wears a mask. No, nobody. Nobody, no. So I'm so glad I'm fully vaccinated.
It would be such a good feeling.
It is. But just, you know, and people have different reactions to the shots. So just because I had a second one that laid me out, that doesn't mean that anyone else is going to react that way. So, because my
Yeah.
assistant, she had both shots and she didn't react to either one. I'm like, I'm jealous.
Yeah. My parents both had the same shots, and yeah, mum was out for a couple of days, and dad was perfectly fine, so yeah.
Yeah, you just never know. It's the weird thing about science, you know? Yes, science. Science is what drives vaccines. In case any of you were wondering, it is about
science. The good science.
Very good science. Thank you, science.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being the voice of science, Dr. Nick.
Just going to accept this on behalf of all science everywhere.
Well, I think that you are fully qualified to do so, sir, so well done you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, we don't, in case you hadn't noticed, listeners, we don't have a specific topic for today. We thought we just wanted to kind of get back online, have a bit of a chat, maybe talk about whatever we want to, DS9 related, or what else we want to do going forward, I guess.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I don't know that our plans need to change a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, commentaries, deep dives on characters, creating our own episodes.
I'm looking forward to doing some more of that.
Oh my god, I love it so much. It is always the best time. I have had very few instances where I was part of writing an episode of Star Trek that I didn't like. In fact, I can think of only one time that happened, and all the rest have just been so much fun.
That's good.
So much fun.
Yeah. And my one experience of it, that was probably some of the most fun that I've had recording this.
Oh my god, yes. It was one of the best things I've ever done, ever, in podcasting. It truly, truly was. Oh, I even talked about that episode that we wrote on a panel that I was on last week.
Oh, nice. That's really cool.
Specifically about Garrick's entrance.
Oh my god.
I can still see it clearly in my head. Absolutely. Yeah, I just
the big rotating bed that I think in the original Dr. Bashir, I presume, episode, you've got Kira lying out on it, but you know. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So great. So great. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just gonna say. I feel like there's been I've discovered even more of the kind of interesting fan community in the break since our last record again now, especially among DS9 fandom, and especially the Garrick and Bashir shipping.
Mm-hmm.
There is a artist on Twitter, and I wish I had prepared and actually could remember their handle and everything, but they have done some amazing fan art and invented like original fan characters, and they have one who is like a Cardassian baker who is someone who just moves in and starts living on the promenade after the end of the Dominion War. I just thought, what a sweet idea. And this drawing that they've done of this like kindly looking, woman Cardassian baker. And I'm looking at it. Also, I looked at it, I was like, instantly, I was like, if that character were real, it would be played by Lauren Ash, who does the voice of Scorpia in She-Ra.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh my god, yes.
I want to see her in Star Trek.
I do too. I want to see her in everything. I loved her so much in She-Ra.
Oh yeah,
loved her.
Have you seen
so
Superstore?
Much. No, I have not.
It's a good show. It's a bit of a little bit of a similar vibe to like Parks and Rec kind of comedy. Huh.
Cool.
And yeah, and she's in that as well as a very interesting character.
Nice. Well, I would love to see her in live action, so I will have to check that out. I know of the store. I know of the show. I just haven't seen it. Is that an NBC show? If so, it's probably on Paramount Plus.
I have no idea. It's on Netflix here.
Netflix. But it's probably on Netflix here. Let's see. Now Brandy whips out her phone so she can find out where she can watch Superstore. No, Brandy, there's no D in Superstore. Oh my, well then. Yes, it was on NBC. And I think you can just watch it on NBC's app Peacock, which...
Oh, that's good.
Unless you want to pay, you have to have commercials. That's one thing I hate about Hulu is like, oh, okay, I'll pay. But, oh, no, you're still going to have commercials unless you pay more. No, that shouldn't be how it works. Just, no. But I'm just weird that way. Like, if I'm giving you money, there shouldn't be commercials. Well, excellent. I'm going to check that out now because it sounds like, since I have a history of having worked in retail, I'm sure there are many things that I will find amusing.
Oh, for sure. I have personally never worked in retail. I worked in service. I worked at a bar for a long time, but yeah, watching it with Moya, my partner, who worked at a local pharmacy for quite a while.
Oh, it was
definitely
man.
Several moments of knowing laughter. And yeah, also that artist I mentioned who did the, I think this is them. Let me just actually make sure. Show me some of your artwork. Yes. Okay. So this person who's just been doing some amazing DS9 fan art and fan characters, their name is... Well, or their Twitter handle is @C_Rowles, Rowles. And they go by Katie Rowley, which I have no idea if that's this person's real name or just their Twitter name. But yeah, very, very cool person and great artwork. And I was very happy when I found that stuff. So, yeah.
I follow a lot of Trek artists and just fan artists in general on Twitter. It brightens my day.
Oh, yeah. There it's. That's.
Oh. Oh. My heart.
I know. It's just such a... I'll have to share some of her artwork. Just so that anyone listening can know what it is. But yeah, this is a character that they invented. What does she call her? Ghezal, Cardassian baker and small business owner on post-canon DS9's promenade.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that there's a nice little kind of online community around... I feel like it's sort of grown up around a lot of the same circles that we've been... hanging out in. Definitely a lot of cool people in Dan and Bruce's Positively Trek group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there has to be the shout out for Star Trek shit posting.
I am a member of that group.
Oh,
yes,
the...
I am. It's very funny.
Oh, it's always nice to see, you know, just the really bizarre kind of stuff on there, but also it's like seems to be a very like inclusive and nice community, you know, showing that you can be all about like shit posting and dumb memes and not be horribly offensive. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought it?
And I have witnessed.
And it is very.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, this might be what you're about to mention as well, but there have been so many cases of, you know, the more kind of conservative Trek fans stumbling into that group and getting really, really upset at all of the kind of LGBTQ positivity going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are... they always seem to put some great big post about how this is awful and you're all... what's the word they use? Morally bankrupt. And I'm leaving.
Hi. Thank you. You have saved us the trouble of blocking you.
Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, I have also seen people just post racist and or misogynist or otherwise sexist things, biased things, and just get trolled to the nines. It's amazing to watch. You just sit back with popcorn and just let that feed go. It's just, yeah, the amount of people.
And like a little while ago where there was that there was that one guy in there who was just like, I don't think I've ever seen a real female Star Trek fan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, haven't you?
Really? There are quite a few of them.
And then all of the amazing photos that everyone was sharing of their cosplay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely Twitter in general and even a few areas of like Trek fandom Twitter have a bit of a bad reputation, and quite deserved in a lot of areas, but I like that there is this little niche that we happen to have dug ourselves out of positivity and goodness.
Indeed. In fact, I saw this post from Dan, I guess it was like a week or two ago, I don't know how long it was, and he says, apparently I missed some big stir-up on Trek Twitter. Does anyone know what this is about? I saw nothing about it. And I said, I guess I just must follow the right people because I don't know anything about it either. And I never did find out what it was about. And I don't care. I don't care what it was about because it's going to just be about gatekeepers being awful people. So I don't care. Toxic people being toxic. Who cares? I don't need to know anything about it.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So I just follow the right Trek people. So what else do we want to talk about with the Vedic Assembly? So we've got character deep dives, episode deep dives. We could talk about, we haven't...
Writing episodes.
Yeah. We haven't talked about a specific race for a little while. So do a deep dive on the races of Deep Space Nine.
I do, a little cultural indexes.
That was really fun with the Bajorans. I enjoyed that.
I think that's always good.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd definitely love to talk about the Cardassians a bit more.
Definitely. They are complex. More complex than they seem. Because apparently the women...
Are the scientists. The
women are the ones that are just like, you men. You guys aren't smart enough to do this. Go make your boars.
Yeah.
We'll be over here creating things. Bye. The ladies got it going on.
Well, yeah. There's also the big potential guest that we could have coming up, just because I kind of reached out on Twitter. So very, very likely having Trek author, I would say my favorite of the Star Trek authors, Una McCormack, coming on the show at some point.
I have a hard time choosing.
I only say that because I said, oh, mate.
And you said it, and she said, oh, I'll do it. She said it publicly. And I said, ah, now you have to. Now you have to.
There we go. Oh, which would be great, because, I mean, I know that she loves writing about the future of Cardassia after the war, which I'm fascinated by as well. You know, how would a nation like that rebuild itself, and how could it make itself better after and hopefully, you know, recognize the wrongs of its own past?
Yeah. I am very interested in that, because I think that she can take a lot of what's going on in the world right now and kind of extrapolate that into, you know, basically, Cardassians are Republicans.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's not true, because they wouldn't have all those female scientists if they were the Republicans.
True.
They'd want them home, pregnant and barefoot, and barefoot. Able to choose their own health care. Yeah, barefoot and pregnant is how the Republicans would like their women.
Oh my God.
They want the Handmaid's Tale future. That's what they're striving for. They are still trying to limit women's reproductive rights on a massive scale throughout the country. So, that future is frighteningly close.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually say the Cardassians are a step above Republicans.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
So yeah. Definitely. So that is going to be a really fun one to talk about. I really like the idea of having some more guests on with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh God, I've been listening to quite a few other of the other kind of Star Trek podcasts out there now. Have you listened to any of I Quit Star Trek?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they are fun. Her name is Olivia, and other co-host's name escapes me at the moment, but like they just have a new guest on every episode, and they just talk about the weirder Star Trek episodes, and they're like, you know, which episode did you watch that nearly made you like quit watching, just made you think, nope, all right, that's enough.
I'm gonna be honest, I've never had an episode like that.
I have. The only one I can think of that comes close is possibly Move Along Home, and even then I was just more watching it as a child. I was kind of cringing inside out in the Ella Moraine singing bit.
That is uncomfortable. That is uncomfortable. I agree with that. However, it doesn't bother me that much. But yeah, I've never. I mean, even the episodes that I've hated, and they are few and far between, it's never made me want to quit Star Trek.
No, yeah, and I don't think that's ever I mean, they call a podcast that, but I don't think it's ever like an idea of, you know, oh, you would actually stop watching. But I think they do love talking about the ones that were kind of like, if you're watching through Star Trek for the first time and you come across, like, you know, Threshold, you think, wait, what, Salamander Babies? What?
Well, I'm one of those weird people that actually enjoys Threshold. So.
I haven't seen Threshold in a long time. I enjoy the fact that it exists.
I hadn't seen it in a while, and then I watched it just because... Yeah, everybody kept talking about it, and the Delta Flyers podcast kept alluding to when they were going to get to that episode. And I thought, I'm just going to revisit this because I haven't seen this in 25 years. And so I'm watching this and I'm like, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
I actually really there are some parts of that episode that it's just like, wait, what? But the whole thing was, because everybody's like, oh, they turn into salamanders. I was like, they're amphibians, but they're not necessarily salamanders. And the doctor said it was possible evolution, you know, over a million years in humans' future. Possible. That doesn't mean we're all going to turn into what people colloquially now refer to them as lizard babies. But I love that they had one in Lower Decks. His name was Anthony.
God, that's right. Oh, I'm so excited for the next season of Lower Decks.
I know, it's so close. It's less than 6 weeks now. And I'm so excited. So excited. But yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah. August 12th here. Very excited.
No official word on when we're getting it here. Hopefully around about the same time. Hopefully they don't mess us up like they did last year.
I hope not. Of course, I'll probably get the first three episodes.
You get your pre-screeners.
My pre-screeners, which, you know, I will forever be grateful to Bill of Trek Geeks because he was the one who got me on that list somehow. And now I get screeners for everything for Star Trek. It's just like, thank you.
Oh, nice.
This is what being a devoted Star Trek fan for all my life has done.
It's finally paid off.
Oh, it's paid off many times over. I'm not saying this is the end all of my devotion. No. It's paid off many, many times in my life. But yeah, it's just... I do enjoy it. And I'm good at keeping secrets, so nobody ever finds out from me what happens. I am a vault.
And now there's a bird going ape shit outside my window.
When isn't a bird going ape shit outside your window?
I know, right? Oh dear. These are things you gotta deal with. You live in the country, you have noisy birds and trees falling over in the wind.
Yes, I know what that feels like as well. And in our neighborhood, I'm sure that as it gets darker, there will be idiots setting off fireworks.
Oh, right. Yeah. 4th of July.
And it's way too dry to do that right now.
Oh, yeah. God. I
Way too
mean,
dry.
we have. Do you ever have, periods where there's just like fire bans or anything like that over there?
Oh, sure. Oh,
And.
sure. We're having those, but that doesn't stop them.
Yeah. It must be. I don't know exactly what it is in the kind of different national psyches, because we have our fair share of complete idiots over here as well. But when it's that hot, you will, for the most part, people actually like stick to fire restrictions, and won't burn things outside. Or, have their barbecues. Occasionally, you might have someone who does it. I think, there are enough other people around who would actively, tell someone to stop if they were trying to have a campfire or something like that. Oh, but, I mean, we still have bushfires. It still happens.
Yeah, well, we've got several fires going on in the state right now, and campfires are completely banned. So, and also, pretty much all of the cities and counties in the state have said no, there are going to be no public fireworks displays. It's just too dangerous. And they haven't, not every city has told their residents, don't do fireworks. We're not doing fireworks this year, it's too dangerous. Some have not. And so I wish that everyone would just say the same thing. Don't set off fireworks. We've already had too many fires. In fact, just within the last 2.5 weeks, like there has been a rash of fires in apartment houses, which I am starting to think is arson
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's always been an apartment house. It's been like 5 different apartment houses in the last 2.5 weeks. Now, one is terrible. Two is a coincidence. Three is a pattern.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
So, yeah. So, thanks, arsonist who's running around and making people homeless for no good reason. Appreciate you.
Hey.
That was sarcasm. So yeah, I just wish people would just not do anything with fireworks right
Yeah.
now because seriously, they could set our lawn on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is so dry that they could easily set my lawn on fire, and I would prefer not to have my house burned down this weekend.
Yes, that would be ideal not to have that.
Yeah,
God.
because then I'd have to choose what to save. It's like, do I take the spot cardboard cutout?
Oh, my God. The cat under
it's,
one
I know,
arm,
it's,
Spock under the other.
yeah, it pretty much. Okay, I've got the cat, I've got Spock, we're good. Phone's in my pocket, that's all I need. Because, you know, if worse came to worse, I could podcast from my phone if I had to.
Good to have,
You know, the
these
best.
sorted out. Yep, so could I.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yes.
dear.
Like, make sure I have all the people and the cat. So, make sure I have Dave. Make sure I have cat.
Yep.
Spot, cardboard cutout, phone. I'm good.
Yeah, need to repack my little
Go
yep,
bag.
little go bag again. Repack it
Yep.
for
We have
this
those.
summer. I was
We.
very proud of us. We actually had our whole like kind of plan and everything set up last summer. Felt very good.
Yep. We have had go bags for a while now. My mother actually bought them for everybody for Christmas. a few years back.
Oh, cool.
And they came with all of these ingredients already with them, you know, for purifying water, MREs, you know.
Oh, right, yeah.
Basic things that you would need. So, and I threw a few other things in there as well.
Mm.
So, but, like, yeah, we have those ready to go. And there was one day that we thought we might have to use them because we had a major earthquake. And that was well over a year ago. And so we thought if another one is coming and if it's worse, we're going to have to leave. And so I had the go bags ready. I had water ready. Like, there's water in the go bags, but I had like another like half gallon jug of water, and we had the cat ready in his carrier. He likes to sleep in his carrier sometimes.
Oh, that's so good. Ready. That's
but yeah, we had him like ready. We're like, you got the carrier ready, gonna load the cat in it, and we will go if we have to.
Wow.
We took the car out of the garage in case the garage collapsed during an earthquake.
Jeez.
So yeah. We had some aftershocks, but we never had another big one like that. Oh, wow. Up in this area, anyway. Natural disasters, I'm telling you. No matter where you go in this world, there is something that is going to try to kill you.
We've got it's mostly just the fires here. We've never had a big earthquake, but we do have like occasional, like really, really occasionally. I've felt them maybe a couple of times in my life, just a little shake, and it's really disconcerting. It's just like, what's happening? There was one a little while ago, which was, I mean, it was nothing. The worst damage it did was it pushed over some shelves in a shop. But people were kind of, you know, freaking out over it and being like, oh man, did you feel the earthquake? So people started making the just like memes and stuff. It was like a picture of like a lawn with like some little plastic garden chairs, and one of them had been tipped over. It was like, Melbourne earthquake, we will rebuild.
I love it.
Oh dear,
that's fantastic.
But yeah, God, the winds coming through here a couple of weeks ago were bananas. Though we had, it's a, you know, obviously a big issue out where we are, kind of in the little bit in the bush, and there's lots of especially, obviously, lots of eucalyptus trees, which when they get old or, you know, dry or hot, or they've just had previously like quite a dry summer, they're very prone to dropping their limbs. So when it gets really windy, I mean, we were just kind of sitting in here kind of like bunkered down. We could hear things banging on the roof, which we went and checked, and it was just like branches and stuff. But there was one tree just fully fell over into our yard, and another bigger tree in our neighbor's yard dropped a big branch across the fence. So thankfully, neighbor was really, really nice about it. He came over with his chainsaw and chopped it all up. Now we've got like double the firewood that we had, so that's nice.
Bonus. The one good thing that comes out of it.
Yeah.
We'll get windstorms here. There was one, I think it was about 2011. It took out power all over the place for several days, and it put a tree through my mother's roof.
Holy crap.
And she still hadn't had her power restored like after a week. She ended up being on the local news because they hadn't come and restored her power. Guess what happened the next day restored after her power. That? It's like, wow. We didn't, it's just, it's like, come on. You couldn't not know that wasn't fixed, you guys. Come on.
Oh my God.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
And this, the thing is, she was stubborn and she wouldn't leave. She could have come to stay with any one of us or any one of her friends. She would not leave her house.
Oh, my God.
My mother is very stubborn. But she was fine. The roof got fixed with insurance and such. So, but it took somebody that had experience in tree cutting to come and get that tree out of her roof.
Well, God, yeah.
Yeah, He had to get up on the roof and cut it apart, and yeah, super fun.
It's these things that you don't think about. I feel like a lot of people don't realize just how heavy even kind of relatively small looking branches are.
Yes.
Yeah. And it is like a safety hazard that you have to be aware of here if you're kind of walking, not even in the bush, if you're out anywhere where there are big gum trees around. They can and do drop branches on people, and people have been severely hurt and killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Trees are enemies.
Dangerous.
<I'm kidding>. No, we need trees so that we can have oxygen. No, we love them. Trees, yes. Not our friends.
No. I love our tangents.
We have the best tangents. I am the tangent queen. You ought to hear us over on What the Future Holds, the things that we get up to. Yep. Tangents, always, oh, always tangents. If you're not here for the tangents, then why are you here?
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go.
They know by now. The listeners know by now.
We're 100% tangents here.
Yeah, 100%. There actually is probably about 99.9%. There is that 0.1% where we actually do talk about subject matter.
Yeah, and considering we didn't come into this particular recording with a set subject matter...
Yes, we should just market it as nothing but tangents.
Oops, all tangents.
See, great minds. Great minds.
Oh, good. Oh, nice.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, got the episode title for this one.
Yep. I think that's a winner. Excellent. Anything else you want to gab about? Because I'm sure that we can find another tangent.
I'm sure we could. I don't know. What else? What else can we talk about? What else can we talk about that's even vaguely related to what we're supposed to be talking about?
Well, as of this recording, and it's not, by this time it will be past, by the time that this is out, it will be past, but on the evening of July 3rd, and you can go back and watch it on Dan's YouTube channel, on the Kurt Ratz Productions YouTube channel, Dan and I will be doing an Unready Room about the Season 1 Deep Space Nine episode Duet.
Oh, awesome.
Which is an excellent episode. I'd forgotten how excellent it was. I mean, I always knew, like, oh, this is really a good one. And then I watched it again, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is excellent!
It's so good.
It is so good.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to hang out in the chat for that one. Yeah.
Well, and if you can't, you can still watch it after the fact. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's never going to be seen again.
Yeah.
Because... Dan will have the video on his YouTube channel.
That is one of the episodes that I always... Like, anytime you hear people just saying, like, oh, you know, DS9, it's a good show. Season 1's not that great. You know, you can skip most of us. Duet especially is just one of the ones that I always point people to. It's like, this sets up what the show is about. You know, this is... Mm-hmm. You just get really deep into the weeds of the conflict and the... you know, allegory for, you know, Cardassians and Bajor and who they represent historically. And there is so much good in that episode. And it shows right from there, from, you know, and it's like pretty close to the start of the season as well, isn't it? Or am I misremembering that?
I don't remember
that?
Where it is. You know,
I feel like it's relatively early, and it just kind of sets the tone straight away.
It's actually 19th.
Oh, okay. So it's closer to the
season.
End.
So
yeah, fair enough.
Closer to the end. And granted, it's exceptional, I think. And it gives you a lot of deeper insight into Kira and what makes her tick, and also what the Bajorans were truly subjected to during the occupation. And, you know, these are all things that, of course, everyone assumes happen, but when she's actually saying them out loud and you're thinking about it.
Mm.
And yeah, that's what needs to happen. These things, whether it's in, you know, fiction or whether it's in real life, these things need to be talked about. They need to be described.
Yes.
In detail. This is what happened.
Absolutely.
So that these things don't happen again.
Yeah. And there needs to be respect and caution around speaking, talking about these events in terms of it bringing up the trauma for people who, you know, may have experienced it. But, you know, for those of us who are part of the, you know, privileged class of society, or the, you know, people who haven't experienced this, no, like, it is important for us to know and to learn about these things. You know, here we are saying all this after the recent awful revelations in Canada about, you know, residential school system, which I know unfortunately very little about, but it sounds very similar to what happened here with treatment of the Indigenous people as well. And it is just to try and just like gloss over history like that is so, it's just like criminally negligent of your responsibility as a society.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the conservatives in the country I live in, is that they don't want to feel uncomfortable. They don't want to hear about the past. They don't want to be confronted with the mistakes of their ancestors. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to admit it exists. Mm. They just want to wipe it out. They don't want anyone to have any bad feelings. Well, that isn't the way life fucking works. Yeah. I'm so sorry that you are uncomfortable with talking about the racism that still is very much alive here and in a lot of the world.
Mm.
I am sorry that... Actually, I'm not sorry that that makes you uncomfortable, because it should make you uncomfortable. It should make you question everything about yourself. It should make you understand that this is wrong and that it needs to be changed. And if it doesn't, well, you're on the losing side and you're on your way out.
Mm.
It may take time. Just like, you know, bringing the Romulans and the Vulcans together. Maybe it'll take centuries, but it will happen. And you will be eliminated from this equation. So you can either get on the right side of history or you can be forgotten. Take your pick.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah.
God. I'm just so sick of it all.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it all.
So am I. Every time. I'm getting upset by the very concept of national holidays now. Because it's always about, you know, the day we first arrived, first discovered, you know, Columbus Day, Australia Day, whatever. It's like, there are already people here.
I don't like Columbus Day either.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't like Columbus Day one bit, because Columbus was terrible person.
Yeah.
Why are we still celebrating that? Why? I mean... I just don't understand. And they still teach lies about it in school, you know, to elementary school children, which is like grades one, kindergarten through six.
Mm.
And it's just like, how can you still tell these lies? I mean, they still tell these lies about, you know, founding fathers, George Washington chopping down the cherry tree. Never happened. Also, wooden teeth. Not a thing.
Oh my God.
Not a thing. So it's just like, we need Texas to stop determining what goes into textbooks. I don't know how they got that job.
Oy.
I don't know why anyone listens to them. Why does Texas, of all places, get to say what does and doesn't make it into a textbook? I don't understand that.
That's ridiculous. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, And it's like one of the worst states.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the governor basically wants to secede from the union.
Oh my God.
And yeah, he's an idiot on top of that. Like, they have their own, they are not connected with the national power grid.
That's right. That's why they had all of the power outages and everyone was, you know, freezing last winter over there, wasn't it? They just
Children died.
Yeah. Because children the died. Because the
yeah.
state presumably that's in majority kind of privatized grid as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they privatized everything because greed.
Mm-hmm.
And they when it's privatized, you don't have to obey national regulation laws. And so, like, the pipelines were not insulated or anything like that. And they had, you know, they have had snow in Texas before. This actually did happen before. Probably, I think maybe it was 5 or 10 years ago. I can't remember the exact number of years ago. And there was actually, I believe, a state senator or congressman of some kind that said, this is going to happen again, and this is what needs to be done in order to prevent this from happening again. Was any of those things done? No.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened again, and people died. And now they're facing the same situation with this record heat.
Yep.
And if their power grid goes down, then people will die again.
Yep.
And the governor doesn't care. He does not care.
Mm-hmm.
And he also signed into law that people could have guns without permits. So, even better.
Huh. Yeah, I worry about the next time here there's a, you know, more big bushfires. Because, you know, there's been twice now in my lifetime that there have been, like, huge destructive fires. Mm. One of them dangerously close to where I live. So
mm-hmm.
we don't seem to have learnt anything about, you know, good fire or bushland management or anything like that.
No, it's the thing is I think that there are people out there who did learn from it, but they're not the people in power.
Yeah.
And so therein lies the problem.
Yes.
Is that the people in power, if they have a brain in their head, they'll make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. But if they're greedy and all they are there for is themselves and their own interests,
mm-hmm.
they don't give a flying fuck about what happens to anyone. And unfortunately, they just keep getting elected, even though they very clearly do not care about their constituents in any way.
Hmm.
It's frustrating.
Oh, there we go.
You thought I was frozen again?
Maybe. It's a little bit of lag.
Frozen. Frozen.
Oh, no. Now we're getting into ASMR. ASMR territory.
Oh. Okay, I'll stop.
Oh, that was weird.
I know. I'm weird. I have this app now. People in America have probably heard of it. I don't know if it's a worldwide thing, but it's called Calm.
Yeah, we use Calm as well. It's great for meditating.
Yeah, I haven't figured out meditation yet. I suck at it. And my husband says, well, it's really just about not hanging on to any one thought and just letting the thoughts go. Well, I'm like, Dave, all I am is thoughts. There are 50 million thoughts in my brain every second. So how am I supposed to just let them come and go? That's what they do automatically at warp speed. And that's what keeps me awake at night.
Yep, I know that feeling.
But yeah, I enjoy falling asleep to celebrities telling me stories about places. So.
Oh yeah, we listen to the shipping forecast sometimes, which is really nice. Just the very calm kind of BBC English voice. not just sort of reading out, you know, calmly reading out the, you know, the shipping weather forecast, but it's a specific recording of it from a particularly calm night. So, you know, no storms, no rogue waves.
Yeah, I like the sleep stories a lot. The first one I ever listened to, I think, was actually Idris Elba. So, hello, I'm Idris Elba. Thank you for listening to my sleep story. I'm just like, yes, please keep talking. Yeah, he's my favorite. He's one of my favorites. I also very much like Cillian Murphy talking about describing a train ride through Ireland.
Oh, wow. That would be really nice.
Yeah. It is really good. And we're still having major lag, even with my video off. Ugh!
Well, maybe that means it's a good time to start wrapping up.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully we'll have things fixed a bit better in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, because it's usually not this bad.
All right, well, yeah, in that case, maybe I'll let you go so you can turn your air conditioning back on.
Yeah, we got to do an ending thingy.
Yes, we do. We have to make it up on the fly.
Yeah. Well, you know your part.
I do.
You can just tell me all to right. Tell people where they can find me.
So, thank you all for listening to this the triumphant-ish return of the Vedic Assembly. Technical issues notwithstanding, we're very happy to be back. Happy to be recording and putting up podcasts for you again. Before we finish up, I'd just like to mention that I am recording here on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and I wish to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and I acknowledge sovereignty was never ceded. If you want to keep up with us, the podcast, on Twitter, we are at Vedic Assembly, and you can find me on the socials at Punk Zoologist on Twitter and at Punk Rock Zoologist on Instagram. And Brandy, where can people find you?
You can find me many places, but the best place to find out what I'm doing is Twitter. I'm there at Brandywine12. Brandy's with an I, 12 is a number. I have podcasts besides this one, I know, shocking. The aforementioned Unready Room, which happens every other Saturday evening right now at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Figure it out for yourselves what that means for you, depending on your time zone. And we have a lot of fun talking about viewer-picked episodes of Star Trek. So we've covered a lot of different episodes. It's always fun. And you can find that on Dan Gunther's YouTube channel, which, again, is the aforementioned Kurt Rass Productions. I also do a podcast called What the Future Holds about Star Trek Discovery with my friend, husband, Dave, and my friend, Christopher Littlefield. And yes, he's my husband and my friend, Dave is. And then there's also Boldly Go, a Star Trek Strange New Worlds podcast, which I do with my friend, Suzanne. And we are really due for a new episode on that. I'm going to have to bug her again about that. And I do a podcast with my husband called The Dark Corner Podcast, which is about gothy things, gothy viewpoints, really, of regular things. So we're going to have a lot of fun recording our next episode, which is going to be all about another podcast called Dungeons and Daddies, which we both fell in love with and enjoy very much. I highly recommend it to everyone. Start at the beginning. You will not regret it. And and also Infinite Trek has... That podcast
could be about one of two very different things.
It's not BDSM most of the time. 99% of the time it's not a BDSM podcast. And Infinite Trek has become actually more of a once a month panel sort of thing. And so look for those at the end of every month. We usually stream now on the Trek Geeks channel, YouTube channel, which you can just find under Trek Geeks. And that's it. That's all.
All right. Cool. Well, I guess there is nothing else left to say now, except Vedics disassemble.